Welcome to Journey Church On Demand. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit us online at journeychurchdfw.com.
New year, it's the new focus, it's the new vision, it's the new direction that God's giving our church. And I'm just excited what God's doing in the house. This past Wednesday night's worship and prayer time was amazing. The glory of God sat down in this house for quite a while Wednesday night. It was rich. It was rich. God's moving in some pretty amazing ways. One of the things, though, that we shared with you when we started this series is God's given a very clear vision statement for our church. And the vision statement that we've connected that to be is simply this. We are a multi-generational church that experiences God's life-changing presence together. Come as you are, as while we embrace family and diversity as connected believers. Through faith, relationships, relevant biblical teachings and discussions, we develop passionate followers of Christ of all ages. As we journey to discover our unique gifts, we boldly impact families, communities, and our world with the hope of Jesus. That's who we are. That's what Journey Church is about. But we talked about, let's shrink that down a little bit for you to remember it, because that's not real portable. So we just talked about the fact that we believe that we're to be experiencing, connecting, and growing. Experiencing, connecting, and growing. And you'll notice they're present progressive because it's not just one experience. It's not just one connection. It's not just one time of growth. It should happen and continue. Continue to experience the things that God has for us. Continue to be connected to the body. Continue to grow in our walks. So that's the idea, is that we're to be experiencing, connecting, and growing. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have a device, it will be up on the screens as well. But we'll pick it up in 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. King Jesus, we thank you that your word brings life. We thank you that your word brings hope. And I pray, God, for the next few minutes, you would speak to us. God, I lay my own plans. I lay all of it down at your feet. And I ask that you would have your way in your house. Speak to us. Let us walk out of here differently. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you so much. Every year, Glenda and I are blessed to be able to represent our church at an event called the Big Apple Coalition in New York City. It's connected to Africa's Hope, which is a ministry that we support. And I love what they do because their heart is all about being able to equip and train pastors to lead the local congregation on the entire continent of Africa. That's their vision. And we get to work with that. And so we've been a part, as a church, we've been a part of multiple projects. We've translated the Discovery Series, which is a discipleship series, into French. For the French-speaking nations. We've been a part of building a Bible school in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. We've been a part of all kinds of really neat things that God has done. And so when we go there every year, we get to hear the heart. We get to hear the vision. We get to get an update on what we did, but then we hear what we're going to do the next year. And there's just a real special connection in my heart for what they do. So I love it. My desire is, as a church, that we continue to always stay connected and be a part of what Africa's Hope is doing. But full transparency, one of the things that we really love too is they build into it. They put us up at a couple of nights in a hotel. They send us to a Broadway show. They do, you know, they do a good job of that piece of it. But full transparency, one of the things we like is they build into it some time off for the pastor and his wife in New York City. And so every October, you'll see us posting pictures, you know, from the Empire State Building or all kinds of things. And the thing is, it never gets old. It never gets old. And I love it. I actually, as much as I get frustrated at like the mall and Walmart, I like Times Square. I can't understand it. I just do. But after about 2 days, I'm done. I'm ready to come back home. I like Texas. Okay. But one of the things, one of the first years that we were there, we went with two other pastors and their wives here from North Texas. One is in Abilene, one's in Tyler. And the six of us kind of ran around New York City. And one of the first places that we went was down to Ground Zero, down to where they built the Freedom Tower, okay? And as you came down into where the Freedom Tower is, you're going to see a video that will start to show you. It's just kind of a time lapse of the video being built as we talk. And so we go down there, and I'll never forget this, because we go down there, and this building is huge. It's 104 stories tall. Okay, so we go down there and we'd already been to Ground Zero and seen some of the memorials and some of those things. And it is one of the most surreal things you'll ever see. But we go on over to where the Freedom Tower is. And we decide, Chuck, one of the pastors and I, we're going to go up in it. And it's like 25 or 30 bucks a person. But how often do you get to go 104 floors up in New York City, right? So the two of us go up. No, the other four weren't interested, but the two of us went up. And we get on this elevator, and this elevator goes 22 miles an hour, and you can feel it because you are covering some distance. And at first, it's like, whoa, and it's like, hey, all right, it's kind of cool. It's fun. We get up to the top, 104 floors, and the elevator doors open. And it looks like you're looking out on the city right there. So you step off the elevator, and you're looking, and it's just amazing. And you're watching. All of a sudden, you start to notice some little things start to change. And as they start to change, you realize it's just a bunch of projectors projecting on this wall. And about that time, a subway on the video goes, you see the subway. It's like, all right. And as you see it, the doors open, and there it is. It's kind of a cool piece. And we walked out there, and I'm telling you, it was right at sunset. As we're watching the sunset on the Hudson, looking out, and you could see all of Manhattan. You can see into Brooklyn. You can see in the Bronx. You can see all of these. And it's amazing to sit there and watch and to look at. But the nerd in me, before we went up there, because again, look how big that is. That's huge. And so I go, and I stand right outside the front door, and you know what I did? And I looked, and I started really taking it in. And this video really helps grab a hold of it. All that had to go into that. Could you imagine what that must have looked like for that guy 88 floors up building that? Could you imagine what everything had to go? And for all of those New Yorkers, for however long it took to build that, it certainly was not 2 minutes. But to sit back and watch that thing start to grow and to become what it is. And I thought about that. And then I got to thinking about, for us, when maybe you grew up in a town and you leave that town, and you've been gone for several years and you come back and it looks nothing like what it did, right? It's grown up. When I was 4 years old, we moved here to North Richland Hills. We lived right off a roof of snow that was two lanes. There was a Dairy Queen and there was the phone company, and that's it. Roof snow has a little bit more than that now. You have to pray, like intercede when you're driving on roof snow. But I tell you all that because I can look back and see the growth that we saw there, the growth in the cities. But growth was never intended to be just for a city or just for, a building. God intends for us to grow in our walk as well. So when we talk about experiencing, we talk about connecting, we talk about growing, we want to be growing in our walks. We want to be growing in who we are. But you've got to understand, it is God's will for you to grow spiritually. God wants you to grow spiritually. And I want you to grab a hold of this, because the moment we stop growing is the moment we start dying. There is no just plateau. There is no get to this point, all right, I'm here and I'm going to hunker down and wait for the rapture. That's not it. If you're not growing, you're regressing. There's no in between. And I want you to understand, God wants every one of us to grow. Look what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:18. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Paul goes on to tell the church in Ephesus. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. It's God's will for us to grow. It's not enough. I remember back when the big Brownsville revival was happening. And I remember Steve Hill, the evangelist, he gave an altar call. And he, I'll never forget this. He said, if you're not closer to Jesus today than what you were a year ago, you're lost. If you're not closer to Jesus today than what you were 1 year ago, you're lost. And I want you to think about this. If we're not constantly growing, then there's an issue. There's an issue. We should be closer to Jesus today than we ever have been. It's not just an emotional thing, but it's a lifestyle thing that we're starting to walk through. But you need to know that God does give that growth. Look what Paul says in Colossians 2:19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. He goes on to tell the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God gives the growth to the church. Can I tell you? The church is growing right now. It's beautiful to watch, but it's not me. It's not. It's not our staff. We've got an incredible team. We got a great board, but it's not that. God's given the growth. God's given those pieces. God's bringing that up. God's using us, but God's given the growth. God wants to give the growth in us. He wants us to grow in that as well. But here's the question. If God wants us to grow and God gives the growth, then do I have a part to play? And the answer is absolutely yes. 100% you do. And I want you to hear me. I want you to hear this pastor's heart for just a minute. My desire is I want to see each and every one of you and those watching online, our streaming services, I want to see you grow in Christ. I want to watch you grow in your knowledge of God. I want to watch you grow in your walking in holiness. I want to watch you grow in your love for Christ and your love for others. I want to watch you grow in your humility. I want to watch you grow in your self-denial. I want to watch you grow and walk in powerful ministry. I want to watch you walk out true repentance. I want to watch your faith grow. Why are we doing the charge? It's not so that we can redo the building and so we could give money to Nehemiah's house. All of that's powerful and that's kingdom oriented. But you know the big piece is? I want to watch you grow in your faith so that when you are faced with a difficult time financially, you'll know God will come through. I want to see you grow in those areas. I want to watch you grow and start to live this out. I want to watch you grow in your area of serving. Now, Peter gives us really three things. I don't typically preach a three-point message, but I'm actually doing a three-point message this morning. And there are three things I think God really wants us to do to grow as we do our part. First one is we've got to feed on the Word of God. We've got to feed on the Word of God. Peter starts this passage with a simple word, so. The NIV uses the word therefore. And the question when you see that is, what is therefore there for? You're welcome. You're welcome. But you need to look at that and say, okay, there's a reason here. There's a shift that's going on here. And you could probably take everything after the word so all the way along and put it in parentheses. And if you did, you'd get the gist of the statement. It's this. So long for the pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into salvation. You need to feed on the word of God. And I know you'd be like, you may be thinking, you know, Pastor, this is kind of an elementary message. It's these things that we tend to bypass. We're so interested in looking for the little nuggets that we forget the basics that we need. And I want you to get a hold of this morning because God wants us to grow in our lives, grow in our walk. We're to long for his word because his word gives life. His word, it will last forever. And I love it because it will never fail. It will cause you to grow into your new place, into the new walk that you have with him. The book of Genesis tells us that it was his word that brought about creation. If his word can create life, do you think his word can give you new life? You think his word can stretch you and grow you and develop you? But the word long, because Peter tells you to long, that word actually, it means to earnestly desire or to crave. Anybody craving bacon yet? Am I the only one? Okay, thank you. Those that are honest, God bless you guys. Yeah. But, you know, the bacon, the coffee, right? The coffee, those things. I mean, I am ready for some coffee. I'm just going to have an IV next Sunday morning. All right? I'm just going to start it. Let me stop real quick. All jokes aside. As you get ready this last week of the fast, don't be too worried about the food. You're missing the point of it. Shift it to Jesus. Okay? We're cutting up and all those things. The fast, it's about you getting more sensitive and drawing closer to the Lord. So shift away from those things, okay? But I want you to understand that craving idea, it's a strong word. But Peter goes on, he says, like newborn babies. Now, thankfully, it's been a little while in my world since I've had a newborn baby in my life. I love where I am in my world right now because when you people have babies, I get to love on them and then I get to give them back. If there's a diaper that needs to be changed, it's not me, okay? I've said it before. There are three people's diapers that I've changed and they all live in my house. Okay? But I love that piece. But if those of you that can remember that, or maybe the several of you that are living that right now with the little guys in your life, I want you to think about this because when they're little bitty, they really live for three things. They eat, they sleep, and they empty themselves. OK, Okay, I am trying to walk a line here, people. Work with me. Okay? And if they don't get to eat, they act like they're going to die if they don't get it, right? Because if they're awake and they're not eating, they want to eat. And they scream. And they act like their lives depend on it. Because guess what? It does. And when Peter tells us to long like a newborn baby, we should long for the word of God like our lives depend on it. Because it does. Our spiritual health is dependent upon our desire and growing in the things of God. And we get into his word to do that. See, Peter tells us, he said, approach the word. Seek after that. Get to where you've got to be almost restless without it. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 15, he says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. So we're desiring it. We're so hungry for it. When Peter, though, he goes on and says, long for the pure milk. That's the idea of pure. It's unadulterated. It's uncontaminated. It's unmixed. I actually read when I was studying this of mothers that would actually put a little bit of sugar in the baby's milk. They don't need anything mixed with it, I would assume, but I don't know. I'm not a mom. We don't need to add anything to the word. The word is perfect. This word, and here's the thing. If you're kind of new to walking in Jesus and you're like, man, I don't know. I'm telling you, there is the word speaks to everything in your life. It really does. Maybe you might need to get a translation you can understand. Okay? Jesus did not speak King James. I don't know if you knew that. I'm not knocking King James. I'm just saying, you don't have to do that. I do the ESV, but this year, all of my devotions, I'm doing the NLT, the New Living. I'm just doing it in a different version this year. But I want to encourage you, find time to get into the word. This is where there's hope, there's purpose, there's direction, there's healing. All of those things are right here. It's all in the word. And we need to crave this as pure thing. We don't need to mix with it man's opinion. We don't need to mix with it Newsweek. Okay? We don't need to crave after something more than this. Can I tell you, if you're craving after Netflix more than you're craving this, there may be a problem. And if there's one finger going that way, there's three back this way. Okay? I'm in it with you. Let's crave the word. Let's let the word really change us. Because Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The man of God may be complete. There's completion as we really get the word of God because it's the word from God and we can grow in that. A hungry Christian is a healthy Christian. If you had a baby and the baby wouldn't eat, how many of you know that's not a good sign? What would you do? You'd get that baby to the pediatrician. If we're not craving that, maybe we need to get along with the Lord a little bit and say, God, renew a desire in my heart for the word. Renew a new desire in my heart for your word. And I want you to hear me carefully. As Pentecostals, if we're not careful, we get real wrapped up in the emotion. So it's all about the song. It's all about this. It's all about that. And that's powerful. God created us with emotions. He wants to operate inside those emotions. But hear me. If we're not balancing it with a good diet from the word of the living God, we are anemic. Are you with me? Get into the word. And so you'd be like, well, Pastor, where can I start? You'd be like, did you hear that? You'd be like, I've read too many memes. You might find yourself, you know what, Pastor, how do I start? Where do we go? You know what? The book of John, book of Ephesians are both great starts. If you have other questions, see me. I would love to connect you to that. But the fact is, when we eat on this every day, then we start to grow. There needs to be a place where we feed on the word of God. You've heard me say, my grandfather, when I went into the ministry and I got my credentials, he gave me a Bible. Now it's called the Fire Bible, but then it was called the Full Life Study Bible. And he wrote a note on the inside. It was really funny. Speaking of King James, when he told me he was going to do it, give it to me, he said, I'm going to give you this Bible because this means a lot to me. And I said, okay. He said, King James, okay? I was like, Grandpa, I prefer NIV. And he goes, all right. And so he gave me an NIV Bible. But in there, there's a note that he wrote. And I read it every so often because it's just really, really special to me. But one phrase that he put in there is, this book will keep you far from sin and sin will keep you far from this book. This book will keep you far from sin, and the sin will keep you far from this book. Commit yourself to reading it. Listen to it. Growing. Another basic principle, and these last two are not as long, I promise, is cut out what displeases God. I know that, again, simple. Simple, but start to cut away the things that displease God. Peter tells us, he says, put away every sin. The NIV says to put it aside. And I actually like the way the NIV words it better, because I think that verb really goes in, because it talks about stripping away garments. So like in the book of Acts chapter 7, when the men were getting ready to stone Stephen, they took off and they laid aside their garments. It's that same type of idea. You're taking it off and you're laying it aside. You're putting it over there. We need to take the sinful things that are on us and start to peel those things off. God shows it to us and he equips us to start laying those things down. If you were to have a bunch of stains on your shirt, would you go out in public? Yes. Okay. All right. Those of you not named Natalie, would you? But think about it for just a second. I've got an important meeting tomorrow on the property. I'm going to look like a professional. I'm not going to walk into that meeting with cabbage or kale doesn't really leave spots, but whatever I might have had for lunch, grape juice, whatever. I'm not going to walk into that meeting and look all a mess. But how many of us walk around in life with our spiritual shirts covered in stains? You guys remember that Tide commercial? I believe it was a Tide commercial years ago, where they would come in for an interview and the interviewer had a stain on his shirt, and the whole time the stain was like, so, do you understand what we're asking? And the guy was just staring at it. Wow, the stains were talking. If we don't lay aside those things, we're going to start bringing on, we're going to show who we really are through the stains that are on our spirit, man. We got to lay aside those things. We got to put those off to the side. But Peter tells us, are you ready for this? Peter says, all of it. It's not enough to say, okay, God, I'll lay that sin aside. I'm going to lay this sin aside. But this one's mine. Peter says, lay it all down. Every one of them, lay them all down. Get rid of all of the junk. Peter says that we should be, it should be born out of a desire to love our fellow believers and to love the world intensely. There are a lot of sins that keep us from loving like that though, right? How about malice? Peter lists that. He says malice. And malice is just basically, it's ill will towards other people. You want negative things to happen to someone else. We see that a lot. We see it where, man, that person said this, they did that. And you know what? I don't know that I'll ever forgive that. And all of a sudden, we start seeing that kind of unforgiveness popping up in the church. And then how are we looking different than the community? Because if the community comes in and they see there's no difference between us and them, why do they need what we have? That ill will, we got to lay those things down. Deceit, you know, that's actually described as deceiving and hurting someone for personal gain. You're deceiving them so you can get what you want. Maybe it's hypocrisy, because Peter talks about that. That's pretending to be something you're not. Guess what? We're not actors. Let's be real. Let's be authentic. Authentically loving people. Authentic in who we are. Authentic in the way we treat others. I think it's real important that we understand the world's not looking for somebody who's perfect. They want people that are real that'll just point them to Jesus. I remember I was sitting with a man. He didn't go to our church, but his mother-in-law did. And she was dying in the hospital. So I'm up at the hospital with him, and we're in the waiting room, and we're talking. And the woman who's dying, her husband looks at me, and he says, hey, would you like some coffee, Pastor? And I said, no, I'm fine, thank you. And that man looked at me and goes, you're a pastor? I was like, what did I do? I started to worry. I don't think I did anything, but I said, yeah, I am. He goes, ah, you're driving your nice Beamer outside? I said, or a 99 F-150, whatever floats your boat. He goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, that watch on your wrist, is that a Rolex? I said, or a Fossil? He goes, wait. You don't have all those things? I said, no, I don't. And he said, you're not here in a suit and tie. I went, no. Why, where's your suit and tie? I said, it's in the closet. He said, why? I said, man, I wear it when I'm marrying and burying. That's it. You know? And he goes, okay. He said, so wait. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts opening doors, and he and I talked. We talked for about 45 minutes. 2 weeks later, she'd passed. 2 weeks after the funeral, he comes by her, and he is drunk as the day is long. He comes inside. He vomits in the office bathroom, and I led him to Jesus. Can I tell you, you know where that came from? I wasn't like, I'm super Christian, and I'm here to help you. No, I was authentic. I was real. I think there's something to be said for just being who we are. Authentically love people. Be who we are. Be who God created us to be. The last one that Peter lists is slander. Backbiting. Another word for it is gossip. If you have to say something and you start it with this, it's gossip. If you can't say, hey, you know what? Let's take it and let's go ask that person about it. And they're like, whoa, no. It's gossip. Don't listen to it. I give Miss Jerry a hard time, and she gives me a hard time all the time. But I will tell you something. She will give you a hard time, and she will own anything she ever says. She is who she is. Am I right? Yep. There's something to be said about that, just that authenticity. But that gossip piece will kick in. Be very, very careful not to be that spiritual trash can and listen to that stuff. If somebody wants to do that, I'm not kidding them. Say, you know what? Let's go ask Pastor about that. They'll stop. Or if it's a real issue, they're like, yeah, you know what? We need to. And then if it's a real issue, by all means, let's fix it. But let's be intentional with that, those things. Let's put those things aside. Because sin will destroy your appetite for the word. If you feed on sin, there will be no desire to feed on the word. So if you're feeding on all those things, the malice, the envy, and the hypocrisy, and all of those things, man, it's going to fill it up to where you're not going to want to feed on God's word. I think there's something beautiful about the idea of really plugging in. Again, this book will keep you far from sin, and sin will keep you far from this book. Let's get into the word. And let's start to lay those things down, because if you don't deal with the sin, you're not going to be hungry. My final thought is just this. We talk about feed on God's word. Lay aside the things that displease God. The third one is just this. Focus on God's goodness. Peter says this in verse 3. He says, if indeed you have tasted. It's a direct reference back to Psalm 34:8, where it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Good taste is always an incentive to come back, right? Right? Because here's the thing. We eat for two reasons. We eat, one, because if we don't, we will die. Number two, we eat because we like the taste. How often will we go into kind of a hole-in-the-wall place, but we'll go into that hole-in-the-wall place because the food is good? How do you think this happened? Because I like food. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And you'd say, man, you know, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know that I've really tasted that. I've really walked a difficult life. I've had this or this has happened, and I don't know that I've ever really tasted it. Can I tell you something? If you're a believer, you've tasted it. Because God saw you in your brokenness. God saw you in your purposelessness. God saw you in your place of hurt. God saw you in the midst of a life that really felt like there was nothing going to happen. God saw you in a place where all you had to look forward to was an eternity in hell. And God sent his son for you. Why? Because he's good. And if you received that, you have tasted his goodness. I want to challenge you this morning to think back on where you've seen God move. Think back on those things, because Peter makes this statement. He said, if you have tasted. In other words, that if really encourages us to start to look back in. To start to look at where we are and say, okay, am I really loving like I need to be loving? Am I serving like I need to be serving? Am I growing like I need to be growing? Because the fact of the matter is, every one of us have areas we need to grow in. Every one of us have areas that we need to stretch ourselves and develop in. I've been serving Jesus again. You know, I walked away from my faith when I went to college. I came back to Jesus in 1993. And I'm so incredibly thankful that I am a whole lot closer to Jesus in 2019 than I was in 1993. But can I tell you, should the Lord tarry, my goal is that by 2039, I'm closer to Jesus than I am today. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow in the way I treat people. Because you know what? There are times I fall short. I want to grow in the way I serve. Because there are times I'm a little selfish. I want to grow in the way that I love him. Because there are times I fall short. Many, many times. So here's my challenge to you this morning. Will you receive what Jesus did? There may be people in the house right now that you don't have a relationship with Jesus at all. But Paul tells us today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that we get to receive what he did. Today's the day. And I want to encourage you, because the fact of the matter is every one of us were born with sin in our lives. Every one of us were born with something that separated us from God in our nature. And as a result, what we earned, what we really should, what we deserve, is an eternity separated from God. But Paul tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life. He sent his son so that we could taste and see that he is good. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your hope. Thank you for all that you're doing in this house. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give people the strength to respond. I pray, God, that we would move out of where we've been. Let us start to see areas where we need to grow. Let us start to walk in what you have for us. Have your way in this house in Jesus' name. With no one looking, I want to have every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're in here right now, and I promise you, I will not embarrass you. But if you're in this house right now and you would say, you know what? I don't really have a relationship with Jesus. Either I've never really had one, or I did, and man, I walked away, and I'd like to reconnect. If you would say, that's me, and I want you to pray with me, I want to ask you just to slide a hand up real quick. I want to pray for you. I got you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, pray for me. Anybody else? We got one person making a decision. Okay, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. And here's what we're going to do. If you're new to Journey Church, the Bible says that heaven celebrates when somebody makes a decision for Christ. So at Journey Church, we do too. Okay? As a matter of fact, we go pretty crazy because we're celebrating somebody's souls, somebody's making a decision for Jesus. I want you to pray this prayer with me. The person that raised your hand, I want you to mean this from the bottom of your heart. When we're done, somebody from our team has something for you. They're going to get that into your hand and start talking you through what some of that looks like. But everybody in this room, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you that you love me. Lord, I thank you that I don't deserve it, but you laid your life down for me. Forgive me. I need a Savior. I give it all to you. I lay it at your feet. Be my God. I believe that you're alive and that I have life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Journey Church On Demand. We would love for you to visit us in person for one of our Sunday morning worship services. If you have questions, need prayer, or would like to connect with us, feel free to visit us at journeychurchdfw.com.